Thank you, worship team. Remember that all the sermons that we preach on Sunday morning, you can access them on our church website. If you want to listen to a sermon that you missed, I encourage you to take advantage of it. You can listen to it or download it. You know, our ability to communicate over a distance has increased over time. A couple hundred years ago, we used flags. You know, we had flags that you could see to translate and give signals to other ships or to other people to send a message. This was based on sight. And then they moved to the telegraph system, which was a wire system and Morse code to communicate over miles and miles of distance. Now in the modern age, we go to telephones and TVs and radios, and it's a wireless communication that now can be broadcast through satellites all over the world. Now in our internet age, web-based age, we go to this. We go to, you know, tweeting and Facebook, and you know, the world has never been as connected as it is today. We can talk to people around the world with ease with the phone that we carry. But the reality is that we are communicating more, but actually saying less to each other. We're not really talking to each other. Healthy communication is a key to healthy relationships, whether it be in your family or in your business relationships, your social relationships. The failure to communicate is the number one reason for divorce in marriages. It's the number one reason for broken homes and broken relationships. It's the number one reason that you don't have a relationship with God is because you are not communicating with God. And so the Bible teaches us that as Christians, we should make the most of every conversation we have with people. People that we may not share our faith with. You know, it's not like we're supposed to hide ourselves from non-believers. We're supposed to communicate and share a conversation with them. We see this, if you want to take your sermon outline out of your bulletin, let's look at Colossians 4:5. This says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that that you may know how to answer everyone. Have a conversation. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, towards non-believers. Be wise means you think about what you're going to say and why you're going to say it. Make the most of every opportunity. When you talk to someone, that might be the only time you get to learn anything from this person. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace. That means you have a gracious conversation. You're not harsh with them. You're not condemning them. You're not telling them what to do. You listen to them and you be understanding. You don't do all the talking. You season your conversation with salt. That means you tell them your story. You share, if you talk about God's Word, you share your story to give flavor to God's Word. You make it real and alive. And then it says, always know how to answer everyone. If the conversation turns towards God or you start talking about spiritual things, you should be ready to give them an answer for what you believe in, and why. We are supposed to start conversations with people and get to know them. Now, as a believer, I have one of my challenges I faced was I got to the point where I thought, because I'm a pastor and a Christian, every conversation needs to lead to talking about Jesus, or I have to share my faith. And it used to fill me with guilt because if I didn't, I felt guilty. But then God has been enlightening me and telling me, no, you don't start a conversation with a soul intent on winning them to the Lord. If you do so, it'll make you tense and pushy. Instead, you start a conversation with somebody because you care about them and you want to get to know them. If the conversation leads towards talking about Jesus, fine. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. Okay, we don't need secret motivations. We go into conversations with a pure and a sincere heart. And so that gets... And the one reason we do conversations is to learn about people. Meaningful conversations will enrich your life, educate you, and fill you with more education and knowledge. So our first point on our outline says this. Every opportunity to serve God starts with a conversation. What does God want you to do with your life? Well, you start talking to people. Conversations open doors. If you're a salesman, you know that conversations open doors. The Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul were bold speakers. They could get up at any time, anywhere, in any crowd and preach a sermon to 50 or 100 or 1,000 people. Most of us can't do that. Most of us are not wired that way, but we can carry a conversation. Jesus spoke to thousands of people at a time, but he also had individual one-on-one conversations with people. He had a conversation when he went through the area called Samaria, and he went to a well, and while he was waiting for his disciples to go get food and bring it back, he had a conversation with a Samaritan woman. We see this in John 4:7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. In fact, Jews hated Samaritans. They hated each other. It was crazy in that time period, in New Testament time, for a Jewish man to talk to a Jewish woman. They just did not talk. It was not right. It was not culturally right. But Jesus started a conversation with her. He started a conversation to talk about her and learn about her so that she could learn about him. Philip, one of the first deacons in the New Testament church, was sent by the Holy Spirit to walk along a certain dirt road. And as he's walking along, an Ethiopian eunuch, an official, was riding down in his chariot. As he's going down on his chariot, he's reading from the book of Isaiah. Then we see in Acts 8:29, then the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Each of these conversations started with a simple question, led to deeper conversations. And so today I want to talk about this acronym, our second point, SPEAK, S-P-E-K-E-A-K, conversations. How do we start a conversation with somebody? You ask good questions. You know, we can learn from anybody, whether they're educated or uneducated, whether they're doing great in life or they're having a hard time in life, we can learn from anybody. My friend Nathan Pillow helped me get into the preaching ministry, and he was a great friend. He's a great evangelist. He's gone to be with the Lord. But I've learned from him that he could make anyone feel like he was your friend. When you spoke with him for a few minutes, he spoke with you and he invited you into his life. He made you a friend, and I was always wondering, wow, what an ability. I met Rick Warren, the pastor of the Big Saddleback Church, the author of the Pastor Driven Life. I met him at a Southern Baptist convention, and he was the same way when I spoke with him. Instead of just signing his autograph, I had to go buy another one of his books so he could sign it. And he spoke with me. He asked me questions. He had a conversation. He was interested in me. In fact, recently he said this in one of his blogs. "I've made it my practice for years to have a significant conversations with just about everyone I meet. If you have an open mind and humility, you can learn from anyone. The more people I've talked to, the more I've learned." See, it's easy to have a superficial conversation with everyone. Most of our conversations are not personal and deep. How often has someone said to you, probably today, "How are you?" And your response is, "Fine." Okay, one word answer. What if you didn't talk just to make conversations? What if you talked instead to make a difference in your life and maybe in that person's life? How does that happen? Great questions lead to great conversations. And so I'm going to talk about the SPEAK acronym. I like to use acronyms, you know, formats based on these letters. When I took the CPA exam, the Certified Public Accounting exam, the only reason I passed is because I memorized all the acronyms that they told me to memorize. You know, like government accounting. How do you do government accounting? I had an acronym for it, and I would recall it and write it out. You can ask these questions to anyone you meet. Doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if they're powerful or popular or unpopular. Doesn't matter if they've had a great life or they struggled in life. And it helps you learn and grow. So the first one is S. S means story. What is your story? This is an open-ended question that gets people talking. What's going on in your life? What is happening in your life these days? What did you do this weekend? Most people like to talk about their story. They have a story. It could be a good story. It could be a bad story. And I ask this question, and then I listen to them. I listen to them tell my story. If you ask me what's my story, I might tell you about my last fishing trip I went on, all the fish I caught, show you a picture. Or I might tell you about the robot surgery I had 3 months ago and show you my incisions if you want to see them. You want to see my scars? I'll show them to you later. I always listen to their story. Then I ask follow-up questions. Wow, that's a great story. How did that change your life? What did you learn from that experience? I can learn a lot about people from their story, good story or bad story. So what's your story? P stands for passion. I want to know what motivates this person. What motivates, what makes them happy? Why did you choose to be a doctor or a nurse or a teacher? What makes you tick? What are you passionate about? Everyone is motivated by something. We're moved by something. A person's passion is one of the things that make you unique. You make a significant connection with the person when you take interest in what they care about. When you get to know a person, you find out what they love, you get a different perspective. You might say to yourself, man, I never thought of that as being interesting or fascinating. I've learned something from talking to this person. They might be passionate about their work, their lifestyle, their kids, their hobbies. They may be passionate about things that they enjoy reading or seeing. I want to know what makes them passionate about it so that I can ask myself, am I missing something? Am I missing out on something that they are passionate about? I was talking with a man who was telling me about the Diamondbacks game he went to and how exciting and fun it was. And I find baseball boring. Okay, I'm not big on baseball. And I finally said, why do you like baseball so much? He said, when I was little, my father took me to all the baseball games. Okay, there's right there. And he taught me to enjoy it and the fun and all that. And I'm like, my father took me fishing. I like fishing. I don't like baseball. People love to talk about their passion. Man, you learn their story and what their passion. Maybe their passion is a goal, to accomplish a goal, to reach a goal, or to get an education, or to kick their hurt or their habit or their hang-up. But whatever it is, what are they passionate about? The third thing is E, encouragement. Do you know what you would be good at? Once you know someone's story and you hear about their passion, it's naturally to maybe encourage them at this point to do something that they might be good at or to consider something that they might do well. This is a faith-building opportunity. People thrive when they are encouraged and empowered. Most people don't have enough faith in themselves to accomplish their goals. They don't believe that God can give them a dream and make it come true. But God is a God of promises, and we accept His promises and His conditions, we can do anything. You can encourage people. When you listen to their story, you hear the passion, you can encourage them maybe to take that next step, to the next step in growth. So someone tells you about sewing and how they love sewing, and you say, man, you love that so much. Have you ever thought of turning that into a ministry? I think the women's ministry is doing a sewing project in March to make bags for foster kids. Am I right? I think that's what they're going to do. Have you ever thought of taking that and turning it into a ministry? Maybe you're a people person and you say to that person, man, you love people. Have you ever thought of teaching, you know, English as a second language? Maybe you, whatever your hobby is or whatever your skills are, do you know what you could be good at? I think you'd be good at this. Ask them to explore the possibilities and grow as a person. The next question is A, assistance. How can I help you? You shared your story. You shared your passion. We talked about the possibilities. How can I help you be more than you are? This is a secret to connecting people to people in a positive way. If you're listening to someone long enough, they will tell you how to serve them. You don't know how to help a person? You listen to them long enough, and they will tell you how to serve them. When you ask this question, you are being the most like Jesus. How many times did Jesus say in Scripture, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Do you want healing? Do you want hope? What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus served the people he encountered. And every conversation he had was about God's plan for their life. You may be in that person's life today just so that you can help them fulfill their God-given purpose in their life. You know, whether it was to build their lives up, to overcome challenges. I've discovered that I like to help people if it's within my ability, my knowledge, and my experience. I carry a set of jumper cables in my car, and I've jump-started many, many people. I jump-started their car, get it started, and I helped them. I changed a flat tire for this one lady. I was driving down the parking lot, and I looked, and there's this pregnant lady with a little kid looking at a lug wrench trying to figure out which end to use. I'm like, wait, stop. I'm just going to get out, and I'm going to change that for you. My brother and I have towed 4 broken-down boats that die in the lake, and we've towed them back to the dock. I give advice on business and taxes. I minister to people in deep depression and darkness. I like helping people. So it's a natural question, how can I help you? Now, why do I like helping people? Because when I help people, when I serve them, I become the most like Jesus Christ. When I serve and help people, I become the most like Jesus Christ. The satisfaction is overwhelming. The sense of accomplishment is a blessing. It's empowering. And so I want to ask, how can I help you? Helping people will connect you to people in a powerful way. Then the fifth question, K stands for knowledge. What do you know that I need to know? This is questions for my benefit, your benefit. You can ask anyone this question because everyone knows something you don't. With the right question, you can learn from anyone. You don't have to take the time to make all their mistakes to learn their lessons. Wise people draw out wisdom from the experiences of others. And I don't care if you don't have any glorious wisdom or experiences, if you've been hurting and struggling, I still want to learn from you because what I learned from you, I can pass on to other people. There's a bonus question that you should ask yourself. What do I know? What do I know? What do I have learned from you that I can share with others? What have I learned that I can share with other people? This question passes along the wisdom that other people need to hear. Don't hoard your wisdom and experiences for yourself. Share what you learned with others. If you have wisdom, if you are part of this church, if you're visiting this church, and you have wisdom that you want to share, let me know what it is. Because I can arrange for you to share it with other people. Maybe not today, but maybe next week or next month or next year. This includes any health problems that you've gone through. God does not want you to waste a hurt. When someone tells me that they just got diagnosed with cancer, I want to connect them to a person that has already been through that dark valley, who's already been through that cancer treatments and chemo and struggles and all the fears so that you can guide them through it. If you dealt with depression or you dealt with addictive habits or any of that, and you've gone through it or you're going through it, let me know so I can connect you with people who are going through those same challenges. What do you know that I need to know? So that gets us to our application part here. Number 3, get to know people so they can get to know God. Today we spend so much time buried in our mobile devices and looking at our phones and looking down that we don't look around and talk to any of us. Some of us have forgotten how to approach one another and have a meaningful conversation. Questions like these can help you engage with anyone you meet. But you need to have the right attitude when you ask these questions. You need to be humble. You need to be honorable and not share their secrets with someone else. You need to be helpful, not hurtful. You need to be hopeful. You don't want to be judgmental or critical. The right attitude will lead to the right actions. If God's love is flowing through you, you will see and feel and act like Jesus and have compassion. You can learn and help them. John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How do we know we belong to Jesus? Because we love one another. How do people see that we belong to Jesus? Because we love them. Deeply loving and caring about others shows people that we belong to Jesus. We are disciples of Jesus. We need to get to know people so they can get to know God. Our fourth point is this. Start a conversation about Jesus. Now, I talked about how that's not our primary motivation. Our primary motivation is to get to know people and care about them. But if the conversation, if the Spirit leads you to talk about Christ, wonderful. See, if you spend enough time asking people questions like, what's your story? What's your passion? What are you passionate about? And you listen to them, they will turn around eventually and ask you the same question. Oh, what's your story? You know, what are you passionate about? And that's a time when you can talk about Jesus. Open the door about Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. All right? You ask questions, they ask you questions, and you are always ready and prepared to answer everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. When they ask you that question, they are giving you permission to talk about Jesus. But you do it with gentleness and respect. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you, against your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. Someone mocks my faith and asks me a question mockingly. I try to give a good answer, a sincere answer. And they realize that I believe what I believe. I want to be ready to give that answer with gentleness and respect. When I talk about Jesus in conversations, I want to do it in a positive and joyful way. What's your story? What's your passion? Do you know what you will say? When people ask me my story, I usually say this. I say, I'm 63 now. I've lived a few years. I was a CPA. My answer is, I was a CPA for many years. But when I turned 43, God said to me, stop doing that. Go be a pastor. And so I went to seminary. I obtained a master's of divinity degree. Now I am a pastor. And then I change the subject and talk about something else. About a third of the time, they will ask me, why did you do that? How could you do that? How do you know God was talking to you? How do you know what God's saying in your life? And then I'll start a conversation about Jesus because they asked me the question. When someone asks you, what did you do this weekend? Which 9 times out of 10, they'll do it tomorrow morning. You say this, my wonderful, articulate, and good-looking pastor talked about how you can transform, I can transform my, remember, wonderful, good-looking. You can transform my attitude from being whiny to wonderful. We talked about this last week. Plant good seeds in 2020. How do you transform your attitude from whiny to wonderful? How do you transform your attitude from being victim to be victorious? We talked about planting good seeds. And you say, and he talked about, I need to plant good seeds in my heart so they'll take root and transform the way I relate to people. And they'll say, what? Not seeds. And you say, God's word and God's love. All right? I need to change myself before I try to change the people around me. I need to change myself before I try to change all my circumstances. That was last week's sermon. There's a reason I give you this outline. You know, it's not to draw pictures on. It's not to fold and make an airplane. It's so you can take notes and so that you have something to say to tomorrow morning when you go to work or you go to school. Someone asks you, what did you do this weekend? All right? That's my plug for my outline. Remember key points. You have something to say. Instead of forcing a conversation, we look out for ways to include God in every conversation without raising eyebrows. Maybe you're going for a walk. You're outside with friends. You just say, thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Maybe someone tells you about their pain and problems. You say, can I pray for you? I just feel led by God to pray for you. Can I pray for you? You want to come across as loving, natural, and unforced. I want to show people that Jesus is a part of my life. It is normal and natural to talk about Jesus. It is not forced. It doesn't make the conversation awkward. I think about what I'm going to say with people. I pray ahead. I anticipate the flow of the conversation. I might mention something about Jesus, what he did in my life, and then I just change the subject to prevent any discomfort. Because a lot of times you talk about Jesus, someone says, well, here comes the sermon. I just change the subject and switch to something else. Recently, I was talking with a workman working on my house. And I mentioned to him that I was a pastor and asked him if he worshipped anywhere. And he said he did not. And so I just changed the subject, started talking about fishing or the work he was doing. But it's interesting, 30 minutes later, he turns around and asks me a question. He says, oh, what's the difference between your religion and all the other religions? I mean, what's the difference between your religion and all the other religions? That is a golden question. I mean, that's like, okay, you got a couple hours? You know, you got a day? Wait, let me go get my pulpit and set my pulpit up and I will preach to you. But I'm ready to give an answer. I gave him my 3-minute answer, how you are not good enough. Most religions say that you have to become good enough, you have to do enough good, so God will let you into heaven. I say our faith says we are never good enough, we will never be good enough, but Jesus is good enough. Jesus lived a sinless life, he died on the cross for your sins, rose from the dead to give you eternal life. So I said that's the difference. We trust in Jesus to make us good enough to go to heaven. We put our faith in him. And so I did a 3-minute message, and I changed the subject again. Then when he was leaving, I just said to him, look, here's my card. If you want to talk about what God can do in your life, you give me a call and we'll have lunch. See, I want to have a pleasant conversation with people. I want a pleasant conversation with people who are unsaved or having doubts about their faith. If it's fun and it's friendly, the defenses come down, I can talk about my faith. Verse 15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. If you're here today, you don't think you have hope. You don't have a future. The road's too far. The road's too hard. I want to tell you that God loves you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. It begins today when you look to him and start asking God the right questions. You start listening to God's answers. God's not going to call you. Probably not going to call you to speak to a crowd, but everyone, he wants all of us to have conversations with people. Will you ask God to show you who you need to have a conversation with this week? That person at work, that person at school, or at home? You can start a meaningful and friendly conversation with them. You can ask them these questions. If you do, the Holy Spirit will point the way and open doors for you. Brothers and sisters, we're supposed to start conversations. Maybe you're here today and you're wondering, what is that guy talking about? Talking about God, talking about Jesus, talking about salvation and eternal life. If you're not sure, that means you need to have an honest conversation with God today about your relationship, about your future, about where you come from and where you're going. Do you believe in God? Did you know that God believes in you? He hasn't given up on you. In fact, he invited you here today just so that you can think about him. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this world to live a sinless life. But yet he died a sinner's death because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So Jesus Christ is our gift. When we trust in him, God says, I will forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future, and I will make you my child. I invite you to come live for eternity in heaven. Today, we can have a better life and a better future by trusting in Christ as our Savior and our Lord. So now we're going to go into our decision time. I invite you, if you're ready to say, Jesus, I want hope. I want to follow you. Come on up. I'll pray for you, encourage you. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I'm going to start a conversation. I'm going to see where God is working and join him there. Whatever your decision is, now's the time to make it. Let's pray. Father, we worship you and we thank you for having a conversation with us. And we know, Father, that you speak to us most of the time through your word, through your Bible. We can read what you want to say to us. And I pray, Father, that all of us here will have a conversation with you by praying and talking with you. And Father, I pray for that person that you want us to talk to this week to start a conversation, just a friendly conversation, an honest conversation where we truly care. And Father, if you open the door to share a little bit about our faith in Jesus, we praise you for that too. Help us not to feel burdened about this or tense or worrisome, but we just want to flow and trust in you. I pray, Father, that you also bless those who are here today that may not know you, Father, that they may choose to think about you and find out more about you or seek the truth about what it means to be a Christian. We worship and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand now and sing our invitation song. I'll be standing down here. If I can encourage you in any way, please come forward. That may not know you, Father, that they may choose to think about you and find out more about you or seek the truth about what it means to be a Christian. We worship and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand now and sing our invitation song. I'll be standing down here. If I can encourage you in any way, please come forward.